we send out these cold emails to the professors. Since the very first line in my email, it's talking about me and that I'm a sixth grade student. And that's what gets the professor's attention, because normally they don't speak with sixth grade students. Some things I would like to learn from is when I got my first rejection from an investor or a professor, because I almost took it as a sign that I might fail in the business.
Welcome to Future Titans, where we spotlight remarkable middle and high school entrepreneurs building real businesses that solve real problems. Every founder we speak to has received a $1,000 Formidable Fellowship grant. It's not equity, it's not debt, just a bit of inspiration capital to say keep doing what you're doing. If you're a student entrepreneur, we'd love to support you too. Just visit formidablefellowship.org to apply for a grant. It takes less than 5 minutes. And if you believe in empowering young builders, consider supporting our mission. All contributions are tax deductible. Now on to the conversation. All right. Hey, everybody. So today we have half of a formidable duo. I think the only media company that we backed in our first cohort of Formidable Fellowship grantees. And so we have Ariel here with us. Ariel, can you introduce yourself? Maybe just tell us your name, where you're from, and how old you are.
So I'm Ariel Bach, and right now I'm 10 years old, and I'm the founder of Bach Bros Studio, well, co-founder, which I co-founded with my brother Ellis, and I'm from New York City.
Okay, and where do you go to school?
Well, I go to school at Wagner Middle School.
Okay, awesome. So tell us a little bit about what does Bach Brothers Studio do?
So Bach Bros Studio is an educational media and technology company where we provide the access and the application of these complex research findings to the general public. And then we do this by getting these kids to interview these prominent professors from all around the world in our studio, so that the professors can explain their complex research in a much simpler way so that the kids can understand.
Okay, I love this idea. So the first time we talked to it, I fell in love with this idea because there's these really interesting things that happen at universities, and then they're kind of they're hidden because they're so complex, right? And so what you do is you or other young people will go interview them and ask professors or researchers to simplify what they're doing and explain it in sort of everyday language. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. And so let's go back to the beginning. I'm curious, how did you even come up with this idea? Because it's like it makes so much sense, and I'm surprised nobody's done it before. But yeah, where did you even come up with the idea to start trying this?
So we got the idea of starting the business when my father came back home from his classes at Harvard. And then I wanted to know what he learned there. So I asked him about what he learned, but unfortunately the answer was a little too sophisticated and perplexing for me to understand. So then that's when I came up with the idea saying, oh, why don't I ask the professors that taught my father himself? Because the professors, they have a much better idea of what the research is about. And also, since I'm a kid, they will explain their complex research in a much simpler way for me to understand.
Okay, I love it. So you just figured, I'm going to cut out the middleman, which is dad, and you're just going to go directly to the source and ask them. Okay, so you had the idea. How did you get your first professor to do an interview with you?
Well, it's mainly just about sending cold emails. But since it was our first interview, my dad reached out to one of his professors on negotiation and conflict resolution. So we sent the email, the cold email, and then we asked if we could set up a time to meet. And that's how we got our first interview.
Okay. So I love the cold email thing. So I'm curious, how many of these would you, if you had to estimate, how many cold emails have you sent since you started the company?
We've sent like a lot, around like 25 to 30 cold emails. But we've done from like 15 to 20 interviews so far.
Wow. So the response rate is very high. Like
yes.
Most people respond.
Yeah.
Okay. I think everybody who's in sales who just heard that response rate is going to be very jealous. So Ariel, how do you get these interviews lined up? Like, what's your process?
So we send out these cold emails to the professors, but what gets the professor's attention is that, well, since the very first line in my email, it's talking about me and that I'm a sixth grade student. And that's what gets the professor's attention, because normally they don't speak with sixth grade students. And they're going to be like, oh, what does this sixth grade student have in mind with me? And that's what catches the attention.
Okay, perfect. All right. So I think like what Ariel's hitting on here is really important, which is you have to be memorable, right? And so he's hitting that in the first line, which is, yeah, he hit it on the head. Like, these professors are not used to hearing from sixth grade students, right? And then, Ariel, in addition to that, do you customize it in any way, maybe based on their research or their area of focus?
Well, we already know what their specific subject or department that they work in, since we send it out to the professors on a certain topic. But we also send out these emails to all the professors in that one topic when we go to a university's website, if we are thinking about going to a certain subject that we want to speak about.
Okay, got it. All right. So I think for any entrepreneur listening, this is really valuable, because what Ariel's doing is really smart. He's using this sort of, and not most, nobody else can use this. He's got this competitive weapon that sort of nobody else has, which is he's a sixth grader. But the other thing he does, which is really smart, is he personalizes it based on, you know, their physics or their psychology or whatever. So they feel like it's not just some mass impersonal email, even though it is kind of mass in some ways, but it sort of looks semi-personalized. So yeah, like he's hit on a really sort of profound way of getting access to people. So Ariel, when you send these emails out, give me a sense for how many you send and maybe how many responses you tend to get.
So we, as I said before, we sent out various emails, and the receiving rate is very high, because most of the time the professors accept the meeting and try to make time to meet with like a sixth grade student, because it's very unique for them.
Okay. All right. So you get a high response rate because it's such a unique ask. And so then you do the scheduling and you guys line up a time. What happens between them saying yes and the scheduling happening? Are you doing any preparation in advance of that? Or do you kind of just go to the meeting and say, explain this to me?
So we do prepare up the questions before the real interview. And also, I haven't mentioned this already, but we also try to use technology as like an engine for our business. So we sometimes use technology to think of these questions to ask to these professors, because normally we don't have like a clear idea of what this is about, or like the certain subject. So yeah, we ask technology to give us a series of questions, or we sometimes think of questions of our own. But a key thing we prepare is that we think about the question, what advice would that professor give us? Because it's important for the other kids or other general public to know like how they can also become successful.
Okay, that's great. And so when you say you use technology, are you talking about using like ChatGPT and Claude to help with the questions, or what technology are you using?
Mainly I prefer to use Perplexity.
Okay, cool. All right. And so you use Perplexity, and, you know, for those that aren't familiar, what do you do? Do you upload like one of their research documents and then give it a prompt to say, give me questions I should ask? Like, what's the process?
So normally we first say like who we are and then what our business is about, because it's important to feed the AI as much information to get a better answer. And then we tell Perplexity about the certain subject we're going to be talking about. And then we ask to give us a series of questions based on that subject.
Okay, got it. And so I'm curious, what about Perplexity do you prefer, maybe relative to ChatGPT or Claude? What made you pick that?
Well, for ChatGPT, it's been a while, but I don't think there were these references that you can go back to or these websites on ChatGPT. But Perplexity gives you these websites you can visit based on that thing or prompt you ask the AI.
Okay, got it. All right. So just to be thorough, you want to make sure you can see the sources, like the underlying sources. Okay, I love it. All right. So you get the questions figured out. You then go and do the interview, and you're recording the interview, and then you push it onto YouTube and on podcasts, like on Spotify and Apple as well? Or where do you distribute it to?
So we do it on all social media platforms, but we don't use like Spotify. We mainly just use YouTube, TikTok, LinkedIn, and Instagram.
Okay.
That's mainly where we put it.
Okay. And of those channels, is one sort of your most popular? Is one grown the most, or the one where you see the most traction?
Well, on Instagram, we have shorts, and recently we've been getting lots of views. And as for YouTube, the thing I prefer about YouTube is that as we get more like views, the YouTube automatically pays us. And yeah, YouTube has a lot of views. I think there's more views on that because on Instagram, there's only the shorts, and they want to know more about what the video is actually on. So they click the website, and then they go straight to the actual video, which is much more engaging.
All right. So we talked about the four channels, you know, all primarily video. YouTube's where you make money. So walk me through the business model. How does Bach Brothers make money today? And then we'll get into maybe how you think it will make money in the future. But let's focus first on how do you make money today?
So we have several different revenue streams on how to make money. A key one that I've already mentioned is the social media platforms, where if they get a lot of views on that social media platform, the company's platform automatically pays us the money.
Mm-hmm.
Another key revenue stream is corporate sponsorship, is when we reach out to these other companies with a product that is relevant to one of our upcoming topics for our business. And then that company will pay us money to be sponsored onto one of our episodes.
Is there an example of a corporate sponsorship maybe that you've done or one that you would love to do?
So there has been some sponsorship emails for medical, but we haven't done like an actual video yet with the sponsorship.
Okay. Got it. And I think early in the conversation, you mentioned that you and your brother do the interviews, but other young people can also do the interviews. So walk me through how does that work?
So on our website, you can press a button on the top that says kids. On that, there's an application form for the kids from ages 9 to 12. And then they can fill out. And then on it, they also have to do a video based on, like, the videos on what subjects they like and then what are the qualities that can make them a good interviewer. And then we select them. But also it's important to get these different applications because obviously me and my brother can't do all the interviews or else we're going to miss a lot of school. So we're going to get these other applications and then we're going to let them know, oh, what's the time they can do an interview.
Okay, that's great. So, because you can't work on the business full-time because obviously you have other commitments, so that makes a lot of sense. I'm curious, of the people or the topics maybe that you've done interviews on, are there a couple that you know, for somebody who's listening or watching this who visits, you know, you guys on YouTube, if they just wanted to get started, like, what's a really good interview that would give them a taste of what you're doing?
So a good one would be one with Professor Michael Horn at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. It's on innovative education, where he's talking about blending this in-person schools with online schools. For the in-person schools, the in-person schools are for, like, social interaction skills and getting to meet each other in person. But then this online schools is more for academics because everybody learns at a different rate. Everybody has a different learning level. So you can learn better or learn the skills that you need to know online.
Okay, great. Yeah, I listened to that one. It was a really good conversation and obviously relevant to some of the work that we're doing to build the School of Entrepreneuring. So that's a good one. But yeah, I think go check that one out. I'm curious, Ariel, where did this entrepreneurship kind of streak come from? Are your parents entrepreneurs? Did you take a class at school? Do you just really like Shark Tank? Like, where did this desire to do something entrepreneurial emerge from?
Well, I wanted to do entrepreneurship once I realized the problems in the world. Like, the professors and researchers spend so much time, like, publishing papers or their research, but it's either not known or nobody can read it because it's too sophisticated. And also, yeah, that is one reason why I wanted to do entrepreneurship. But also my dad is an entrepreneur and he's the co-founder for the Bach Family Foundation.
Got it. Okay. All right. So you have an entrepreneurial dad and then you just saw a problem that you wanted to solve. Okay, great. And so where do you think you're going to take the business? You know, if you could kind of draw up the ideal of where the business is going to be in a few years, like what's the dream?
So we're thinking of putting one studio in every single city, because in every city, there's going to be a professor and there's also going to be a kid. So that is, like, we're going to be setting up these different places around the world. And I'm also thinking of publishing a paper on, like, it's all these kids should learn how to use technology to benefit in their aspiration or their goal. Because technology can really give you a boost in what you really want to go for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you guys are living in a unbelievable time, especially with AI, and great that you're already experimenting with it a bit, which is phenomenal. Sounds like your father has been, but have there been any other specific people who've been helpful or supportive as you've built the business? Like, you know, anybody else that you'd mention?
Well, there's not really anyone that helps assist, but there's also a lot of people that help spread the word about the business. And someone that I sort of look up to would be, like, someone very entrepreneurial, like Elon Musk, for example, because he is very into entrepreneurship, because he's created several companies and have become successful in all of them. So I really want to become like that and then go towards my real goal.
So Ariel, in terms of, is this the first business you've started, or did you ever try anything else? You ever try to, you know, sell candy bars or do anything else?
I've never done anything like a business before, but I am liking the experience of being an entrepreneur.
Okay, nice. Good, good. Well, I'm sure there's many big things in store. You mentioned Elon Musk. I'm curious, you know, what about him in particular do you find inspirational or that you admire?
Well, he has, like, been creating several different things, like SpaceX, where he's trying to make a rocket that won't detach. And, like, Cybertrucks to, like, electrical cars. I'm liking how he can do all these things and then still maintain all of it, which is something that I also want to be capable of.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about school. What from school has been helpful in building and operating your business? What skills or what things have you learned at school that have been helpful in building up Bach Brothers?
Academically, school is not very beneficial, but socially, it is sort of helping and improving my public speaking skills, because that is something that I definitely would like to work on, because sometimes I get really nervous when I'm trying to do public speaking.
Okay, well, you sound like a pro here, so clearly they're doing a good job there. What do you wish maybe they taught more about in school that you think would be valuable for your business? Is there any topics or subjects or just, you know, strategies that you think that would be helpful if they taught in school?
Well, there's not a certain topic I'm looking forward to that they teach, but I would like them to use more technology in the learning, because as I said before, everybody's at a different learning level and learning pace. So I really want to be able to learn something that I can improve from, not just things that I've already known.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I think that's like a big topic right now, is sort of personalized education so that Ariel can move at his speed and everybody else can move at their pace. So I think that's certainly been difficult. Hopefully with AI, it seems like it's a lot more feasible. I think for somebody listening to this, they're going to sort of hear this great story of you got a first professor interview and then you're getting an amazing response rate and then lining up all these others. I'm curious, if you look back, has there been a big mistake you've made so far, and what did you learn from that mistake?
Well, there hasn't been like a major mistake that has been, but some things I would like to learn from is when I got my first rejection from an investor or a professor, because I almost took it as a sign that I might fail in the business. But then another thing is that I always kept the growth mindset and grit to always find ways to improve. And then that's how I got the quicker response rate for the meeting with professors.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. And so now, you know, now when you do get a rejection, does it sort of sting less? You're like a little bit more, it doesn't affect you as much?
No, because I've learned that if you always have a growth mindset and grit, you should be able to keep going.
Okay, that's great. That's great. And have you had any challenges sort of balancing being a student and a founder of a business?
A challenge is that school takes up a lot of the time in my day.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish that school would take up like less time, which I think would be more beneficial. Yeah.
Okay. So if you could wave a magic wand and get advice from anybody, to help grow your business, what would you, you know, who would you want to speak with? And then maybe what would you want to ask them?
Well, as I said before, Elon Musk is like a great model. He can be very successful. I would think is that how do you maintain several businesses at the same time and then keep it constantly going? Because as I said before, school and the business, it's kind of hard to juggle. So I want to learn how to maintain all that.
Okay. Yep. That's great. I'm curious, what did you do or what are you going to do with the Formidable Fellowship grant to grow the business? Where are you investing it?
So we're going to use it mainly for equipment because I don't believe it's enough to buy the space. Definitely for the equipment because we need more, like, better tools. Right now we just use tripods and, like, phone. So we need better equipment. So that's what I'm going to use it on. And if I have leftovers, then I'm going to also put that into my savings for either hiring people or buying this studio.
Okay, amazing. That's great. I think we talked a little bit earlier about some kind of upcoming travel and things that you're doing related to the business. Can you tell us a little bit about some of these awesome invitations that you've received?
So I have been invited to lots of different conferences. Some key ones I would like to mention would be one called Invoked in India that's going to take place in March, and one called ASU GSV in San Diego that's going to take place in April.
That's great. And so what there are you going to be interviewing people on stage, or what kind of stuff are you going to be doing there?
So at Invoked, they've sent us a list of people that we will be able to interview. I might potentially give a seminar there, but that's dependable. And as for ASU GSV, they haven't really responded yet.
Okay, got it. Well, that's exciting. Okay, my sort of normal closing question is, what's one piece of advice you'd give to another student who has a business idea but hasn't started yet?
So a clear piece of advice is that you should learn how to use technology, but if you already know how to, you have to discern whether the technology is helping or harming you. Because, sure, technology can be really beneficial in creating businesses, but there's also content out there that is created to waste your time. So you have to make sure that you're only using technology to use it for things that can benefit you.
Okay, that's awesome. Ariel, thanks so much. You're an inspiration. Congrats on this amazing business and the upcoming travels. You're getting to see lots of parts of the world, and doing really interesting things. So it's very cool. For folks that are interested in learning more about you and the business, where should they go follow you? Maybe mention some of the different places they can go discover Bach Brothers.
So there's a website. There's Bach Bros Studio. You can just search that up. And then there's going to be a series of episodes you can watch and also the website where you can learn more.
Okay. So Bach Brothers Studio, also on all of the big video platforms, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, etc. So we'll put all of those in the show notes as well. So please do check them out. And then there was the professor of education from Harvard was a good starting point. So for those that want to kind of see how the magic happens, that might be a good place to start. So Ariel, thanks so much and congrats. And we're excited to see where you go.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.